It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me. And this morning's show, well, it's going to be unlike any show I've done in the previous 24 years. I'm calling from Utah Beach, or actually just back at the beach, Utah Beach in Normandy, and I'm taping this show. It is D-Day in the evening, hour, I guess they call it, would call it 20:30, 8:30 here in the evening. I've been on the beach today, and now I'll explain why I'm doing the Great Outdoors Show from Utah Beach. First for me, this show is about the men who truly slept in the outdoors. If you think about it, it's about our heroes who saved the free world. Our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles, our great uncles, they slept on the beaches of Normandy. They slept in the fields of France. They slept in the hills of Italy, and they slept in the woods of Germany for months on end, all the way to Berlin. So I'm sitting in a place right now where 80 years ago, this morning, at 06:30, the 2nd Beach Battalion of the U.S. Navy landed on Utah Beach along with tens of thousands of U.S. men on Utah and Omaha Beach. Many of those men made the ultimate sacrifice. As I'm sitting to you talking now, I have the sand of Utah Beach in my toes and in the soles of my shoes from this morning. I really almost don't know where to begin, except to say we can never forget. This is the Great Outdoors Show, and it's about men who slept outdoors for us to have our freedom. Only when we sleep outdoors now, we don't worry about bombs going off on top of us. We don't worry about people coming in and shooting us in our tents. If every American came to Normandy and went to the cemetery at Omaha Beach, as I did earlier this week, and they went to the battlefields and they saw what happened, I have to tell you, I think no American would ever burn our flag, and we would truly honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice. It is moving beyond anything I can describe, and I'll do my best in the next few minutes to take you through the day that I lived today, because after all, this is a strange thing for me. I'm a reporter today. Usually on the Great Outdoors Show, I'm a participant. I talk about places I've been hunting or fishing or camping. I talk about issues that I'm involved with on conservation on a national, international front. I talk about things that I'm actively engaged in. Not today. I'm a reporter because this isn't me, and it isn't about anybody who came to Utah or Omaha Beach or Normandy today, or who watched it on television, or who's ever been here. Instead, it's about us honoring the greatest generation. And in this case, for me, it was about honoring the 2nd Naval Beach Battalion and recognizing their achievements. The 2nd Naval Beach Battalion, as I learned here in Normandy over the past few days, was actually the forerunner to today's Navy SEALs. These were the groups that went in first on the beach. They were the demolition groups. They were the underwater groups. They were the people that took out the mines so that soldiers could come ashore. And I was here on Normandy today, on Utah Beach, because of my father. We were asked to come here by one of the museums in Normandy, the D-Day Experience Museum, which is a phenomenal museum, which today unveiled its exhibit honoring the 2nd Beach Battalion. Nobody, especially my father, ever sought any special recognition. They were the first on the beach, and in his case, he stayed there camping out for 30 days. No, he didn't have a tent, not much of a sleeping bag. He lived in a foxhole. He came home with the Navy Cross, the Silver Star, the Croix de Guerre of Vec Palme, and with a Purple Heart. And like so many people who were part of D-Day and the invasion of Normandy, He never talked about it. The horrors that they saw and they lived, and those who didn't live, could not be brought to bear to mind. He was among the hundreds of thousands of American men, British men, Canadian men, and also French, who landed and then moved inland over D-Day and Normandy so that we could be free. We all owe them the most incredible gratitude. So it was their accomplishments of 80 years ago today that brought the families of the 2nd Beach Battalion here to Normandy. And I'm talking to you. I'm seldom at a loss for words, but let me describe what it was like. We arrived at the beach, or actually we couldn't get near the beach. There were 15,000 to 20,000 people, mostly French, already standing on the dunes in the dark. We arrived at 6 a.m. It was crystal clear. 80 years ago, it was storming. It was cold. Today, not a cloud in the sky. The tide was low, as it had been 80 years ago. The group of families that were there, the descendants of the 2nd Beach Battalion, Naval Beach Battalion, were led by bagpipes and a military band onto the beach. In front of us, we could see the English Channel. And to our right, as we turned to head east on the beach, there were literally just thousands and thousands of people standing on the dunes, all silent and extending for over a mile in either direction. In fact, the lines of people went out of sight up and down the beach. We walked towards the water, following the bagpipes, who led us across the beach several hundred yards to near the shore, where the tide was rising. And from the water came a reenactment of Navy men, a reenactment of the 2nd Beach Battalion. They walked towards us, and in their hands, they carried books. A book that had been written about the 2nd Beach Battalion. And they handed each family member a book. The book is 700 pages long and chronicles the life of the 2nd Naval Beach Battalion from its formation through the landings in North Africa, Sicily, all the way to D-Day and Utah Beach. And then, after they handed us the books, from high in the air, planes were dropping Navy SEALs with parachutes. With American flags and British flags, the Navy SEAL flag, parachuters dropped from what seemed like the heavens, but several thousand feet above us, and came straight down on us. There wasn't a breath of wind, not a cloud in the sky, as the sun now had fully crested the eastern sky coming over the English Channel. Not a word. Everything was silent. The only thing that could be heard was the gentle lapping of waves on the beach, and they were gentle. Can you imagine 80 years ago when they came in 3- and 5-foot seas, and people were drowning when they jumped off the ships, and tanks were sinking, and boats were capsizing? Today, you could have paddleboarded on the English Channel. And down came the parachuters straight to us, carrying their flags and landing all around us. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of people stood on the dunes a couple hundred yards away. And throughout it all, no one spoke. And then, after the SEALs had landed, we were gathered together, the bagpipes started to play, and we marched, or walked, more appropriately, no one marched, we walked all the way back to where we had entered the beach, hundreds of yards away, passing in front of the throng of thousands. Nobody spoke. Nobody could speak. The chills on your spine, the thing I remember most is that my body was just tingling. You tried to take it all in, and at the same time, it was surreal, and it was so emotional to be standing and walking in the same footsteps of those who 80 years ago enabled the world to turn for freedom for all of us, and to walk in their tracks and know that so many died, and to think of what they faced as they ran as fast as they could to get to the dunes was just incomprehensible as we strolled on the beach in a glorious morning. When I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, and then I'm going to turn to the countryside of Normandy for the rest of the show, which many of you have seen and been to, but on glorious early June day, it is truly one of the most beautiful places on earth. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here this morning, calling from the beach of Utah Beach in Normandy. For those of you who've been with me for the show, I'm not, simply you know where I am and the emotions I'm feeling. For those of you joining me, hope you can podcast the beginning of the show. 80 years ago today, the most remarkable fight for freedom began to succeed. And I was here today to honor those, including my father, who helped make this possible. All I can really say is that after we left the beach, the bands were playing. We stood there with the dunes now in front of us, having left the beach. A military band struck up our national anthem, and then the bagpipes played and taps were played. There wasn't a dry eye, but most of all, there wasn't a sound. Nobody talked, just stood there trying to take this in. And while it may have been crystal clear and no wind, it was cold. Your fingers were tingling and you pulled hard on your zipper, or I pulled hard on my zipper, on my windbreaker, after having been standing out for almost 2 hours on the beach. And we had good clothes on. Imagine those 80 years ago coming ashore in a storm, soaking wet and facing elements much worse than we faced. Then we went to the D-Day Experience Museum, which, for all of you listening, when you come to Normandy, go to the D-Day Experience Museum. It is something that is, there are a number of museums in tribute to D-Day on the coast of Normandy. There may be none finer than the D-Day Experience Museum. And it is the creation of Michel Dutrez, who also, and I'm sure, Michelle, I apologize for butchering your last name. It also is the place where the permanent exhibit for the 2nd Naval Beach Battalion is now housed, long overdue from a group who never sought recognition, and yet who actually were the forerunners of what today is arguably the most highly sought after, prized military group of all, the Navy SEALs. There was a book written about D-Day and about what the 2nd Beach Battalion did. It's called Fighting Our Way Ashore, and it's written by Michel Dutrez with great help from Tyler Elliott. As I mentioned, the book is about 700 pages long. I bet it weighs about 12 pounds. And this evening, just before coming on the air, there was a book signing, and the descendants, each family chose a member, sat at a table, and we signed books for 2.5 hours from individuals coming through the museum who had purchased this book. And I sat there, ultimately giving way happily to my sister as my left hand ached. But what struck me most was a elderly French lady who was on a walker, and she came up before me. I was the first person in line after the author to be signing books. And she looked at me and she started to cry. And she said, "We will never forget. We will always thank you." I hadn't done a thing. I'm just sitting there with a picture of my father in front of me. And those tears were then shared by many of us sitting at the table. So I moved from there. I need to move from there. I think you all have a sense for the great heavy weight that we all should carry for what these men did for us so that we could be free. But moving from there, I want to go now to the countryside. And before the show ends, I have to convey that I was stunned. All over northern France, American flags are flying, French flags are flying, Canadian flags, British flags. They have not forgotten. Every single little town, farmsteads, everywhere I went for the last 3 days, flags, big flags, little flags, all over northern France. People today came by the tens of thousands to Omaha and Utah and Juneau and Sword beaches, and they remembered that they were liberated. It's a feeling that you don't get in Paris. They look at you, you're an American. You know, they look down their noses at you, or so it seems. Here in the countryside of northern France, we were welcomed with open arms. But to see the American flag flying the way it flew all across Normandy the last few days made you really proud to be an American. The countryside here is spectacular. It is a countryside of small fields, cattle, horses. There's no fence row to fence row farming. It is farming within fence rows. I'll talk more about it next week because there's a lot to be said about Normandy. It's a place to go biking, hiking, camping. It's actually a place to go celebrate the great outdoors. And the individuals who were here 80 years ago were not celebrating the great outdoors, but they slept, as I said, in the great outdoors. Some of them for 6, 7, 8 months, some of them on the beach for over 30 days. And they did so that today we can enjoy the liberty we have. I'll never forget being here, the 80th anniversary. I do look forward to coming back to Normandy and bringing my tent and doing the things that we love to do in America in an incredibly beautiful place. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.